Next case for argument, Freeman v. Berga, Ms. Walkenhorst.
Good morning. May it please the court, this case is about limitations under the Eighth Amendment and the role of a jury. The jury's verdict in this case is completely consistent with this court's ruling in Rodriguez v. Briley. The jury here was instructed, you must find that the defendant was personally responsible for the deprivation of nutritionally adequate food, resulting in a substantial risk of harm to plaintiff. The district court recognized, even in light of Rodriguez...
Well, what do you think the prison should do with a person like this? Completely unreasonable. So what is it you would do with him?
Your Honor, we would respectfully...
If you were running a prison, what would you do?
We would submit that the prison...
No, we would submit. What would you do if you were running a prison?
The prison should treat him exactly in this circumstance as it would in other circumstances
what
with
does that
disciplinary
mean?
Code.
Goodness sakes, can't you give a straight answer?
Yes, Your Honor.
You have a disciplinary problem here with this person. Now, what's the proper way of handling him?
Your Honor... If Mr. Freeman didn't put his pants on
What's
at 10 o'clock
if?
In the morning.
Look, we know what the facts are. Now, how should
yes,
he be
Honor.
Handled?
You give him you discipline him the same way you would in any other context. You'd give him a warning. You'd put him on backup cell. There's a whole variety. The entire Wisconsin disciplinary code deals with it in any other circumstance.
So what are you going to do? You're going to put him in a different cell or what?
I'm not sure that it would be necessary to put him in a different cell. That would be one option.
What would you do if you didn't put him in a different cell?
One option in order to get him food, Your Honor?
No, in order to discipline him for refusing.
What would you do to respond to his outrageous behavior? Would you ignore it or would you discipline him?
No, Your Honor. We would not argue that
and
they have to ignore
it. How would
you
discipline him?
You could give him a conduct report.
A conduct report? What absurd suggestion. What's a conduct report going to do to him?
The same it would in any other circumstance, Your Honor. It should...
You're basically saying, like, the predicate, you can deprive people of good times credits. You can put them in disciplinary segregation. I mean, there, as you say... There are a whole lot of things. The question is this that kind of situation, or is this, as Rodriguez was talking about, the kind of situation where Mr. Freeman could get food anytime he wants it by just putting his pants on? I mean, what a ridiculous... I mean, he's just trying to be a pain in the neck, right? And...
Your Honor, we're not arguing that Mr. Freeman was justified at all times in not following the rules. We would submit that at some points, he missed it for a variety of missed his meals for a variety of reasons, including sleeping perhaps through the meal announcements.
But I thought your argument, in a sense, was essentially that even Rodriguez is wrong in that feeding someone can never be used as a tool to induce compliance with rules, I'll put it that way, that there are many other tools that prisons have to punish people who don't follow rules. But I thought your position, in a sense, was you just can't use food that way.
I'm not sure that we would even go that far to say that Rodriguez is dead wrong. What we're saying is that at some point there's a limitation, and that limitation falls at a substantial risk of serious harm.
Well,
and
why, though, is the limitation not, as Rodriguez, I think, hints and as the state suggests, the point at which you're really talking about a hunger strike or you're talking about significant harm? You could certainly have a debate about whether the hunger strike protocol should begin at day 9 or whether it should begin at day 6 or day 15 or whatever. You could find a point, but you're not really focusing on that. You're not complaining that they wait too long for hunger strike treatment. But why isn't that actually the issue if you're not going to take the other position that I suggested?
I'm not sure that we completely disagree with you, Your Honor, that we're not saying that they did wait too long, that they do not do anything for a significant period of time, and they don't do anything, and they didn't do anything in this case until there was a point that it was a substantial risk of serious harm.
But you didn't raise this as a challenge specifically to the hunger strike policy. You were saying they couldn't deprive him of food because he was failing to comply with the meal delivery policies.
Your Honor, we have challenged this not as the rule itself. We have challenged this as applied to Mr. Freeman, that they let it go on too long, and that at some point that the prison has
a
responsibility.
There are two separate issues. One is the use of food deprivation as a sanction. Actually, as I understand Rodriguez, we haven't held that food deprivation is a proper sanction. It's only that if your behavior is interfering with the delivery of food, if the behavior is food related, then withholding food may be the only way to deal with the problem. And then at some point, perhaps, you know, the person is nuts or suicidal or what have you, and then he has to be force-fed in effect, right? But on the first part, it seems to me his behavior is food-related. He is disrupting the delivery of the food. And it seems to me the natural solution is not to give the person food, because these other solutions, I mean, suppose you deny him good time credits. So you actually worsen the problem. You extend the problem, right? Because the longer he's in prison, the more, you know, the more of these antics he torments the guards with. Right? So that can't be right.
I'm not sure that that's the case, Your Honor. See,
you have no alternative way of dealing with this person. The conduct report is a joke. The point is, three times a day, the guards have to deal with this guy during the meal service, right? And and they have to be able to do something. They can't tolerate. For him to be allowed to get away with this and do this day after day, month after month, is very disruptive of prison discipline, because the other prisoners see him doing that. They have to prevent this, and you haven't indicated any way in which they can prevent it.
Your Honor, they have other...
What are the other?
The other privileges that they could take away.
Yes, but that doesn't make any difference. Suppose if he's stubborn and he insists that this is how he behaves at mealtime, then they're going to be faced with an insoluble problem, because it'll mean he's getting away with his flouting of perfectly reasonable rules regarding eating.
Your Honor, it may be a problem that he is disruptive and he is misbehaving, but at some point, the officials under the Supreme Court precedent...
That's a second point, so let's
move
that. Now, this fellow was very overweight when he started this, right?
He was approximately 180 to 190 pounds.
Yeah, but he's
pounds.
Only 5'6".
Yes.
That's pretty heavy. Now he's, down to 150, which is a better weight for someone 5'6". So what is the problem? He had a lot of excess fat to burn up before he got into trouble.
The problem, Your Honor, was the continuous and extended periods of time that he was deprived of his food.
He deprived himself of his food. He didn't eat. Why didn't he just behave himself and eat?
Your Honor, I honestly can't answer why Mr. Freeman
didn't
do that.
Is he insane?
We would certainly say that Mr. Freeman has issues, whether that goes as far as mental illness.
Don't give me that kind of evasive nonsense term, has issues. What do you mean by that?
Mr. Freeman was treated for depression. He, during the course of missing meals, he had problems where he was seeing things, hearing things.
No, you describe those as consequences of his not eating. My question is, why is he behaving this way? If he's crazy, then the prison has to do something about it. If he's merely an incorrigible troublemaker, why isn't the logical response, you won't behave during mealtime, you don't get food?
Your Honor, two points on that.
What if what he did was, whenever they brought him a tray of food, he would throw it at the guard? So would they have to, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, bring him the tray of food so he can throw it in the guard's face?
No, Your Honor. That's certainly comparable to the Lemaire case from the Ninth Circuit. Even in a case like that, though, the Ninth Circuit applied discipline.
What do you mean, even in a case like that? What should the prison do in a case like that?
Your Honor,
he throws the meal in the guard's face every three times a day. So what should the prison do?
Prisons have used Nutriloaf as an example.
Excuse me? What should they do in that case? My case.
In your case, they should... they could restrain the inmate, put him at the back of the cell.
Restrain him?
For example, take him out of his cell and put the meal in, if that's necessary, if he's that violent and throwing things at him. But that isn't Mr. Freeman.
And they have to do that for his entire period of incarceration.
Your Honors, if there are no further questions, I see my time is expired.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Walkenhorst.
Thank you.
Mr. Hornstra?
May it please the court, I'm Charles Hornstra, attorney for the state defendants appellees. We believe this case is completely controlled by this court's holding in Rodriguez, and that it doesn't matter how many meals he missed over what period of time, because at all times...
Well, at some point it does matter, we know that, right?
If we come to a point that there's reason to believe he's insane or suicidal, or the doctors and nurses tell us we've got to do something different, there would be limits to that. But so long as we don't have those signs, and we didn't have them here, and so long as he's in complete control, as he said in his answers, he just was not going to obey those rules.
Did he give a reason?
What he said was, I just don't obey rules. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. I think he said, I obey rules 20% of the time, or some percent of the time.
But why don't you put a person like that in disciplinary segregation? I mean, he's not wearing shorts or pants over his underwear, and he's not turning his lights on. Sometimes he puts a sock over his head, you know, or has his cell filthy. You could put a person like that in disciplinary segregation or otherwise make that uncooperative attitude visibly punished so that the other prisoners know that this is not something that's being tolerated, and you have made your point without this severe food deprivation. Even if he's heavy, not eating for lengthy period of time can lead to heart failure, you know, as it happens with anorexics. It can lead to very severe organ failures. And it really isn't even a question of whether you started out with a lot of fat to burn or not. It's a very dangerous policy the prison's pursuing.
First, he is, and at all times was, in disciplinary segregation. He's at the Boscobel prison, which the whole thing is.
Right, it's the maximum security.
It's the supermax.
The old supermax secure program facility, right?
Right, very good. second... their witness, Dr. Farley, said while these things could happen, we did not go too far in this case. He did not approach that danger level.
What kind of medical monitoring was he getting?
He had regular visits from the psychiatrist. He had regular visits from the nurses to assure that he was taking water. A significant point, because Dr. Farley pointed out people can go weeks if they're on water without regular food.
What was the longest period that he went without eating anything?
I think it's the October. This is over a span of 30 months. I think the longest period of time was 8 days. And what I'd point out on that is that not one of those meal omissions was due to this rule. Plaintiff's Exhibit 1 shows that they were due to his choosing to sleep, or simply verbally saying, I don't want to eat. So there were, I I want to say something like 8 days. But again, Dr. Farley said since he was on water, he could have gone weeks without any significant harm.
Would you do that to a school child? I mean, that's an extreme statement. Maybe you can go weeks without eating, without dying, but going weeks without eating is not a trivial... I mean, people don't do that.
I wouldn't want to go so far to say we treat kids in our juvenile jails that way. I will say we are dealing with, in this particular prison...
Are there any norms about at what point a person who actually has eaten nothing at all has to be, there has to be some kind of intervention?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you. I want to make a point of that. Our rule in our prison, in this prison at this time, was that as soon as an inmate goes 3 consecutive days, that would be 9 consecutive meals, the doctors and nurses are brought in. They take blood. They take blood pressure. They examine the patient. They counsel the patient, the inmate. They counsel with the inmate. That's in this record. And so when over this 30-month period of time, if there was once or twice that he went over that 3 days, that's contrary to the prison's rule. And I don't think these defendants could be tagged with it because there's nothing in the record to show they even knew that that happened. But Plaintiff's Exhibit 1 did show that did occur in October of 2003. That's true. Mm-hmm. I have nothing further unless the court has questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hornister.
Thank you.
Ms. Walkenhorst, your time expired, but you can have a minute if you'd like to rebut.
Thank you, Your Honor. In additional response to the court's direct question about what the prison could do with an inmate like this, there are plenty of punishments that the prison could use on an inmate like this. For example, the level system is one that's often used at the Wisconsin Secure Program facility. They can use it level, if he's
what
at level.
What does that mean?
It means there are additional privileges given at the various levels. For example, on level 3, he might get more TV time.
Well, what level is this? Is he at?
Right now, I believe, Your Honor, he's at level 2. He has spent some time on level 3 and some time on level 2. The privileges that could be taken away at that time might be TV, exercise time, those types of things. There's also disciplinary segregation. Good time could be taken away. One point I would like to make is that if Mr. Freeman, for example, attacked...
How much good time did he have?
I don't know the answer to the question, that question, Your Honor, but I can...
I imagine that you get sent to the Supermax with very much good time left in your account.
That may be true, Your Honor. I don't know the answer to the question, but...
You don't know whether he had any, or if so, how much?
I am not sure, Your Honor. I could find out for the court and get back to the court if it would like that.
Now, these various privileges, what, level 1 is the bottom, is it?
Yes, Your Honor.
So didn't he say he was at 2?
Yes, Your Honor.
He never was pushed back to 1, pushed down to 1?
There are times where he has been, I believe, pushed back to 1 during his
but
time
at WSB.
But
that didn't work, did it? Didn't work.
I suppose that that depends how you define whether it worked
or
not.
Wait a second. It certainly didn't work in changing his behavior, right? It was not effective.
I think it has worked with Mr. Freeman. He has gone from level 1 and gotten all the way up to level 3. He does go through time periods where he bounces back down.
You don't understand. When he was demoted from 3 to 2 and from 2 to 1, that did not cause him to abandon his misbehavior. It was ineffective as a deterrent, right?
I disagree, Your Honor.
I don't understand you. If he continues in this outrageous behavior, even when his privileges are being taken away, doesn't that show that withdrawing privileges is not an effective sanction for him?
Respectfully, no, Your Honor. The level system operates on periods of time. if you're stuck, for example, on level 2 for 6 months, and on the last day of that time period you do something again, you might bounce back down. Does that mean that it didn't work to improve your behavior for the other 5 months? I would say no.
Is there any evidence that when privileges are withdrawn from him, he behaves himself for some period of time? Is there any evidence, in other words, that this sanction of withdrawing privilege, this alternative sanction, which has been used, is effective? It seems to be ineffective. You seem to be arguing against yourself, because what you're saying is there are alternative sanctions. They have, in fact, been used, and they haven't worked.
I think even if they haven't worked in all circumstances, I would submit that the record supports that they do support it.
Well, they haven't worked in his circumstance. They haven't worked against him. Now, isn't the prison entitled to have a sanction that's effective against him?
Yes, Your Honor. They do.
And what is that sanction?
In the context of food?
No, what is the sanction for his... What is the effective alternative sanction for to prevent him, to discourage him from this behavior?
I think, Your Honor, that taking away his TV or his exercise time or any of those
rights. It doesn't work. So now what are they? Now what can they do?
I don't agree with the assumption that it doesn't work, Your Honor.
It doesn't change his behavior. It may impose some additional disutility on him, but doesn't change his behavior.
Your Honor, Mr. Freeman may not be an easy inmate, but I do not agree.
May not be an easy inmate. What kind of a nonsensical statement is that?
I apologize, Your Honor.
He's incorrigible.
That may be.
And none of the alternative sanctions has worked.
Even with all of those sanctions, however, Your Honor, there is a point where officials have a responsibility to provide nutritionally adequate food. And Mr. Freeman, during these periods, for 8 days or longer in October and other periods, did not receive nutritionally adequate food.
So you want him to be tied down and force-fed?
I think there are other options, Your Honor.
What are the other options?
As I've mentioned, use of the level system, disciplinary segregation, the
that
back of cell.
That we know doesn't work. We doesn't know that doesn't work. By putting him in segregation, you don't make him eat.
Your Honor, let me use the district court's injunction as an example of what the district court at least thought would work. She recommended, under her injunction, that the back-of-cell restriction be used, that unless there was some security or imminent reason not to give him his food, put him on a back-of-cell restriction and require him to be at the back of the cell where there isn't a security
risk. And what if he refuses to stay at the back of the cell? Then what?
If he refuses to stay at the back of the cell, assumedly then he'd be toward the front of the cell, and that might be considered a security risk for that particular meal.
And then what happens? Right, he refuses to stay at the back of the cell. Now what? Can they deny him the food?
Your Honor, I would suggest that they could try other alternatives, taking away something or moving him out of the cell for one particular meal. There's no evidence in this record to support that he would continually refuse to go to the back of his cell.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Hoekstra.